Mark. Let's get to the root of all ghost stories. It came to pass, Genesis chapter 6. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children. Notice children is in italics. I mean, you got italics in your Bible, added by the translators. The original, they bear to them, whatever it was. And the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, he preserved one family through the flood. Now, I'm still fresh in memory from some of the horror stories I saw on religious television today. A lot of people see horror stories. Here's a call from Medway, Massachusetts. Says, I can't believe you, Dr. Scott. You're incredible. I'm 35 years old with two kids and a wife and desperately seeking truth. I watch Christian television, but it's just terrible. The only thing they have here is the presidential candidate. He names another one. And some maniac called Bleepity Bleep. Says, I bought my shortwave for TBN and found you by accident. Is there a church in the Boston area like yours? Nope. I don't even know if that matters. It doesn't. It seems like I should go to church. Churches of people belong to the Lord, and you can fellowship with us by shortwave radio. 8 p.m. every night, California time. 11 p.m. your time, plus two other times during the day. We take communion together. Man, I sure love listening to you. I'm really glad. Glad you've found us. Not by accident, though. Just appears that way. And today on television, I heard this fellow defending the Word of God as though he was the sole voice across the world that was protecting it. As I said, he held up one. And excised King James, didn't have the Apocrypha in it. He cannot represent the King James without the Apocrypha, because the King James had the Apocrypha. And in the King James is Jude. And Jude 14 says, And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. I'll bet you that preacher, because he sounded like the type, has shouted out that statement probably many times in his ministry from the inerrant Word of God. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's a quote that didn't originate with Judah, or rather with Jude. It's a quote from the second chapter of the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch, now usually designated First Enoch to distinguish it from the later Apocalypse, the Secrets of Enoch, which is known as Second Enoch. The former is also called the Ethiopic Enoch, the latter the Slavonic Enoch, after the languages of the earliest versions existing of each respectively. The Book of Enoch, like the Book of Daniel, was written originally in Aramaic and partly in Hebrew. No copy of the original languages of either is known to be in existence. Latin and Greek versions have only in part been discovered, but the Ethiopic version has been preserved in 29 manuscripts. The manuscript upon which this translation was made was found in Ethiopia in 1768. In 1610, when the King James was written, the manuscript hadn't been found. Since its finding, scholars have correlated quotations in every single epistle by all the apostle writers and have proven Enoch was used by all of them. This particular book. Paul quotes him many times. The citations of Enoch by the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs and by the Book of Jubilees shows that at the close of the 2nd century B.C. and during the 1st century B.C., this book was regarded in certain circles as inspired. When we come down to the 1st century A.D., we find it is recognized as Scripture by Jude, and in the next century, this recognition is given amply in the Epistle of Barnabas and in the 3rd century by Clement and Irenaeus. After the 3rd century, and for doctrinal reasons about prophecy, because the Catholic Church began to treat prophecy as history, it fell into disuse. The second chapter is the one quoted by Jude. Behold, he comes with 10,000s of his saints. But I read it tonight because it also contains a record more expanded than that brief one that is in Genesis chapter 6 about the sons of God mating with the women on the earth. Now, if this protector of the Bible is the protector of the Word, he not only has to deal with the Apocrypha and give us some kind of understanding, but he has to face up to the fact that Enoch was used and treated as Scripture by Jude, who was certainly treated as infallible by this preacher. What are you going to do with Enoch? Don't fall for these simplistic purveyors of ignorance. That's all I'm saying. This Bible, this scripture quoted by Enoch, or rather by Jude, says in chapter 7, and this is a ghost story of some grandeur. It happened after the sons of men had multiplied in those days that daughters were born to them, elegant and beautiful. And when the angels, the sons of heaven, beheld them, they became enamored of them, saying to each other, "Come, let us select for ourselves wives from the progeny of men, and let us beget children." Then their leader, Samyaza, said to them, "I fear that you may perhaps be indisposed to the performance of this enterprise, and that I alone shall suffer for so grievous a crime." But they answered him and said, "We all swear and bind ourselves by mutual execrations." Yeah, you hear me right. Well said. Bleep. We bind ourselves by mutual bleep, that we will not change our intention, but execute our projected undertaking. Then they all swore together and all bound themselves by mutual execrations. That must have been an interesting session. Their whole number was 200 who descended upon Ardis, which is the top of Mount Armon. Now, you all know that I teach that Enoch was the builder of the pyramid. I lean toward the idea that his construction crew was made up of some of these, that the Antediluvian kingdom was at Atlantis, and anticipating the destruction of the earth, God, to Enoch, with whom he communicated, and Enoch walked and talked with God and was not, for God took him. And the word simply means removed him from the place that he was and from the sight of men. Doesn't necessarily mean he went up. He could have gone somewhere else. And the angels or watchers that helped him probably could construct the pyramid. Man couldn't. And there is a statement by Josephus that, being warned of the destruction of the earth, there were two monuments built before the flood to preserve a knowledge of prophecy. One of brick in Mesopotamia, which Josephus says has disappeared in his day, first century. But the one in Egypt is still standing, which is none other than the pyramid. And it is that same pyramid that's prophesied in Isaiah in the middle of Egypt, and at the border thereof there will be an altar of witness and a testimonial in the last days, in which God preserved, as Josephus says, a knowledge of future happenings that was preserved even in the day of Josephus. If, speculation, if Enoch used these watchers, like all construction crews, they got involved. They're a strange bunch, and Enoch would know about it. They swore all together and all bound themselves by mutual execrations. It's real Halloweenish. Their whole number was 200 who descended upon Ardis, which is the top of Mount Armon. That mountain, therefore, they called Armon, because they had sworn upon it and bound themselves with mutual execrations. These are the names of their chiefs: Samiaza, who was their leader, Urachabaramiel, Akabiel, Tamiel, Ramuel, Daniel, Azkiel, Sarakuyel, Asiel, Armors, Bactrial, Anani, Zavibi, Samsaviel, Ertiel, Turl, Yomiel, Araziel. These were the prefects of the 200 angels, and the remainder were all with them. Then they took wives, each choosing for himself, whom they began to approach and with whom they cohabited, teaching them sorcery, incantation, and the dividing of roots and trees. And they, conceiving, brought forth giants, whose stature was each 300 cubits. These devoured all which the labor of men produced, until it became impossible to feed them. You know how high 300 cubits is. If you use the heathen cubit, elbow to the tip of the finger, 18 inches about, and not the sacred cubit of 25 inches. That means they were about 450 feet tall. They ate up everything. Devoured all which the labor of men produced until it became impossible to feed them. Will you believe this is scripture? I didn't say it was. Jude thought it was. Clement thought it was. Irenaeus thought it was. Barnabas thought it was. Jude quoted from it, Paul quoted from it, but if you box yourself into the King James, man, you got some problems. Remember, when you support that man, you're supporting this book. They devoured all which the labor of men produced until it became impossible to feed them. 450-foot trick-or-treaters. See one of those standing at your door about midnight. Trick or treat. Or as he looked down, trick or treat. Honest, that's all I got. And when they turned themselves against men, or when they turned themselves against men, in order to devour them, first cannibals, with a voracious appetite, and began to injure birds, beasts, reptiles, and fishes, to eat their flesh one after another, and to drink their blood, then the earth reproved the unrighteous. Let's check some. I warn you. Check out. Chapter 8. Moreover, Azaziel taught men to make swords, knives, shields, breastplates, made them see that which was behind them, and the workmanship of bracelets and ornaments, the use of paint, the beautifying of the eyebrows, the use of stones of every valuable and select kind, and of all sorts of dyes, so that the world became altered. Impiety increased, fornication multiplied. They transgressed and corrupted all their ways. Amazarak taught all the sorceries and dividers of roots. Armors taught the solution of sorcery. Barkiel taught the observation of the stars. Akabiel taught signs. Tamiel taught astronomy. And Azaridel taught the motion of the moon. And men being destroyed cried out, and their voice reached to heaven. They're scarier than goblins. Then Michael and Gabriel, Raphael, Suriel, and Uriel, good angels, looked down from heaven and saw the quantity of blood which was shed on earth and all the iniquity which was done upon it, and said one to another, "It is the voice of their cries. The earth, deprived of her children, has cried even to the gates of heaven. And now to you, O ye holy ones of heaven, the souls of men complain, saying, Bring judgment to us from the Most High. Then they said to their Lord the King, Thou art Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings." I want to tell you something. There has never been a monotheistic faith in Scripture. All there ever was the designation of the Most High and all other supernatural beings, angels or fallen angels, in a hierarchy under the Most High. It's a semantical. They are monotheistics because they say there's one God, God, and He is one. But they always had an angelology and a demonology. Fallen, superhuman beings, the devil and his demons. Faithful superhuman beings, supernatural beings, angels. And when Genesis opens up, it does not say, and God said, let us make man in our image. It doesn't say El, it says the plural for El, Elohim, which is also used of angels. In the first century, Jesus was viewed as head among those under the Most High God. And when the church councils begin to debate the nature of Christ, the co-equal nature of the Godhead, the development of the doctrine of the Trinity, then there was no way they could keep Enoch. Because Enoch was faithful to the New Testament frame and the Old Testament frame of a supreme Lord. And if you change the names, by stipulation, the angels were decreed not to be God, not to be gods. And there was one God. Then the Christian church came along and had to confront the challenge that they were a setback because they elevated Christ and the Holy Spirit to co-equal relationship with God. So they had to develop the logically confusing idea, which I don't debate. Nicene Creed doesn't bother me. All I do is say it is logically impossible to explain. It must be grasped in faith and taken for granted if you choose to accept it. But you're a fool if you think you can explain the Trinity in any logical meaning at all. Just becomes semantical gibberish. They're one, but they're not one. They're three in one. Co-equal, essential in nature, one substance, differing persons. But if you understand that, you are fuzzy-headed. There is nobody on the face of this earth that ever has or ever will be able to explain the Trinity in understandable terms. The revelation reveals a triad God and a multiplicity of subordinates. Angels between both fallen and not fallen. And that was always the case in the Old Testament and the New. The New Testament frame was the frame of Enoch. The Old Testament frame, Elohim, is used of angels and it's also used of the Godhead. There never has been a debate. El, the Most High, and Jehovah were supreme. But there is a vast hierarchy that we do not understand that is revealed in both the Old and New Testament, and Enoch is consistent with that. And it is still true, Elohim, a multiplicity, said, let us make man in our image. The New Testament makes it clear that the agency of creation was none other than Jesus himself, the Christ, who was the Word made flesh, and it was that same Word who spoke and nothing became everything. So Hebrews 1 makes it clear that Jesus the Christ was the creative agency of the Godhead speaking the worlds into existence. But from Genesis to Revelation, Michael and other angels play prominent parts. And let me tell you something. If Jehovah and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Trinity and whatever they may be want to take a nap. Michael turned loose is all the God you need. He'll handle Satan when he's turned loose to do it by himself. So some of these simplistic ideas will not fly in the face of reality. There are many of them up there. Thank God on the good side are more than on the bad side. Satan got a third. God got the other two-thirds, and he stays in control. Then Michael and Gabriel, Raphael, Suriel, and Uriel looked down from heaven. Hearing the cries of men on earth, they appealed to their Lord the King. Thou art Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings. The throne of thy glory is forever and ever, and forever and ever is thy name sanctified and glorified. Thou art blessed and glorified. And I'm telling you, the heathen religions that are polytheistic are but corruptions of the earliest memory traces in the mind of mankind who recognized there was more there than Jehovah. That Elohim activated the creative process. Thou hast made all things. Thou possessest power over all things, and that's the essence of godness. And all things are open and manifest before thee. Thou beholdest all things, and nothing can be concealed from thee. Thou hast seen what Azazel has done, how he has taught every species of iniquity upon earth, and has disclosed to the world all the secret things which are done in the heavens. Sami-Aza also has taught sorcery, to whom thou hast given authority over those who are associated with him. They have gone together with the daughters of men, have lain with them, have become polluted, and have discovered crimes to them. The women likewise have brought forth giants. Thus the whole earth has been filled with blood and with iniquity. And now, behold, the souls of those who are dead cry out and complain even to the gate of heaven. You find the book of Revelation, souls doing that. Saying, how long? Their groaning ascends, nor can they escape from the unrighteousness which is committed on earth. Thou knowest all things before they exist. Thou knowest these things and what has been done with them, yet thou dost not speak to us. What, on account of these things, ought we to do to them? And you complain because God doesn't answer your prayers? These people are complaining. These angels are complaining. God doesn't speak to them. Then the Most High, they got his attention. The great and holy one spoke and sent Arsayalair to the son of Lamech, saying, say to him, in my name conceal thyself. Then explain to him the consummation which is about to take place, for all the earth shall perish, the waters of a deluge shall come over the whole earth, and all things which are in it shall be destroyed. And now teach him how he may escape and how his seed may remain in all the earth. What's so weird about that? The New Testament, in several places, makes clear that the law was given to Moses by angels. That's one of the arguments that is given by Paul of the superiority of the covenant of grace and the covenant of faith, that God delivered the covenant of faith, that the law came through subordinate delivery boys, angels. He's very consistent with Scripture. The Lord of lords and King of kings, they finally got his attention. He sends these angels to tell Noah. And again the Lord said to Raphael, bind Azazel hand and foot and cast him into darkness. We'll read the book of Revelation. There's going to be chained demons from the area around Baghdad. Turn loose in the tribulation, they'll have 200 million demon horsemen turn loose with them. Out of the bottomless pit or the abyss, only one word in the New Testament, come those locust demons with a hierarchy of leaders turn loose in the tribulation. Some of them have been bound for a long time. Bind Azazel hand and foot, cast him into darkness. And opening the desert which is in Dudael, cast him in there. Throw upon him hurled and pointed stones, covering him with darkness. There shall he remain forever. Cover his face that he may not see the light. And in the great day of judgment, let him be cast into the fire, where the beast and the false prophet and Satan are going to be cast. Restore the earth which the angels have corrupted, and announce life to it that I may revive it. All the sons of men shall not perish in consequence of every secret by which the watchers have destroyed, and which they have taught their offspring, those 450 tall gobble up everything giants. All the earth has been corrupted by the teaching of the work of Azazel. To him therefore ascribe the whole crime. To Gabriel also the Lord said, go to the biters, to the reprobates, to the children of fornication, and destroy the children of fornication, the offspring of the watchers, from among men. Bring them forth and send them one against another. Let them perish by mutual slaughter, for length of days shall not be theirs. They shall all entreat thee, but their fathers shall not obtain their wishes respecting them. For they shall hope for eternal life, that they may live each of them 500 years. To Michael likewise the Lord said, go and announce his crime to Samiaza, and to the others who are with him who have been associated with women, that they might be polluted with all their impurity. When all their sons shall be slain, when they shall see the perdition of their beloved, bind them for 70 generations. That's 7,000 years, isn't it? Underneath the earth. Even to the day of judgment. Does that mean 7,000 years till the day of judgment? From whatever date this announcement was? And of consummation. Until the judgment, the effect of which will last forever, be completed. Immediately after this shall he, together with them, burn and perish after the 7,000 years. And everybody else that gets in the lake of fire burns. They shall be bound until the consummation of many generations. Well, he's already said 70. Destroy all the souls addicted to dalliance and the offspring of the watchers, for they have tyrannized over mankind. Let every oppressor perish from the face of the earth. Let every evil work be destroyed. The plant of righteousness and of rectitude appear, and the work of righteousness and rectitude become a blessing. Righteousness and rectitude shall be forever planted with delight, and then shall all the saints give thanks and live until they have begotten 1,000 children, while the whole period of their youth and their Sabbaths shall be complete in peace. In those days all the earth shall be cultivated in righteousness. It shall be wholly planted with trees and filled with benediction. Every tree of delight shall be planted. Purify the earth. Exterminate them from the earth. Then shall all the children of men and all nations shall pay me divine honors. The earth shall be cleansed from all corruption. Neither will I again send a deluge upon it from generation to generation forever. Before all these things, Enoch was concealed, nor did any one of the sons of men know where he was concealed, where he had been, and what had happened. He was wholly engaged with the holy ones. I'm telling you, he's building the pyramid with them and with the watchers in his days. I, Enoch, was blessing the great Lord and King of Peace. And behold, the watchers called me Enoch the scribe. Then the Lord said to me, Enoch, scribe of righteousness, go tell the watchers of heaven who have deserted the lofty sky and their holy everlasting station, who have been polluted with women and have done as the sons of men do, but taken to themselves wives, and who have been greatly corrupted on the earth, that on the earth they shall never obtain peace and remission of sins. For they shall not rejoice in their offspring. They shall behold the slaughter of their beloved, shall lament for the destruction of their sons, and shall petition forever, but shall not obtain mercy and peace. And that's one of the mysteries that Hebrews talks about, using that combination of the word in the Hebrew, or rather in the Greek, epilimbano, three words, but all meaning to bend down low with the intent to reach and help. And the writer of the Hebrews stares at a revelation concept in amazement, saying that God did not bend down low to help and rescue the fallen angels. But, oh, amazing grace, he does bend down low and reach to help fallen man. And here's the record of God closing the book. They shall not obtain mercy and peace. Then Enoch, passing on, said to Aziel, or Zaziel, and then his message, the reaction of the watchers. Vision that Enoch received. And then the Lord appears to Enoch, addressing him, spoke and said, hear, neither be afraid. Interesting book. And Enoch also prophesies in our book list. You ought to ask for it. To get a Truth magazine, you'll know how to obtain it. You can read it between now and next Halloween. They're on telephone. There are other passages that speak of these wandering spirits. Now, the flood destroyed the bodies of these offspring of that weird union. Henry Drummond once described, and it's the best definition of life I know, life is capacity to relate to one's environment. We are discovering that people can be kept alive as a vegetable. Different parts of your being die. God is the source of life, created Adam and Eve with the capacity to never die, maintain their relationship with God, the source of life renewed, and the moment that they sinned, death began, because they were separated from the source of life. As Galatians says, there was a wall of partition between man and God. The greatest thing that happened at Calvary was the removal of that barrier, allowing God, through his life, the Spirit, to come to us. He chooses to put his life in those that trust him. That's the salvation by faith. But these beings, ever in his presence, joined in union with the women of this earth and produce those strange offspring. destroyed. Slain in some cases, those that remain destroyed by the flood. Did they become wandering spirits? Are they the source of some of the demons? Still looking for bodies to possess? I think I want to return to demonology in a biblical sense again one of these days. But I think that all of you ought to have the Book of Enoch. And you can get it here, so you need to ask for the Truth Magazine. They'll tell you how to get it, so get on telephone.